Hoi, this is Little Things in Zian, and I am your host. As you probably can tell, my name is Lindsay Ann. It has been a hot minute since I have made a podcast or posted a podcast, but I am here to continue what I have started, even if it took me over a year to do it. So today I'm going to be reading a long entry from my diary that I had written probably in the beginning college years about this guy that I was super infatuated with. And I talk about, and I connect it to a lot of life, abstract life stuff, and I thought that it was relevant to my current life now. So I thought I was going to share. So here I go. What is the meaning of life? We all ask ourselves this question at one point. Maybe the answer doesn't even matter. We ask a lot of questions that we can never seem to get an answer to. Try to figure out everything, plan for everything. Thing is, sometimes nothing ever really goes as planned. Maybe the meaning given to life changes sporadically as well. I used to believe we could give it a set definition. The only meaning of life is the meaning we give it at the different points of our existence. So now you may be thinking, how ridiculous. She hasn't even answered the question she herself has asked. Well, damn, hold on. I'm getting there. I'm trying to properly articulate this with as much feeling and love as possible. But it'll probably still be corny and cliche. I thought the meaning of life was you. You with the silky long black hair. You with that slender and stately appearance. You who looks like you'll trip over your feet but never do. Mustache and strands of hair protruding from your chin. You with the eyes that seem to see all that is my soul, with a gaze that holds as strong as tree roots hold on to the ground that provides it life and growth. You used to provide me life and growth. You used to provide me with love. You used to be the meaning that I gave to life. It was ninth grade, start of high school. The hallways were filled with children who smelled of zit cream and too much perfume or cologne. Full of people trying to make something or someone out of themselves. I was one of those people too. I had wanted myself to be more at the end of this high school experience. As I walked through the hallways with my friends, I saw you for the first time. That jet black hair sure made you stand out. I thought you looked like my friend. She also had long black hair at the start of high school and glasses. I thought that y'all looked like, and couldn't help but stare at you. Sometimes, when you walked through the halls, and that was a start. Never did I think I would have met you, talked to you, befriended you, and eventually fallen in love with you. We had classes together, but I didn't take much notice of you. Although your hair made you stand out, your personality was far from my eye and out of my mind. We never really talked, or none that I could remember, so how could I possibly analyze anything about you? I couldn't, and I didn't. 10th grade. I only have one thing to say. Yan 11. Two words, one person, but one introduction and one connection was made. One that would bring me the highest of highs and lowest of lows. Had it not been for Yana, I would have never met and gotten to know you the way we did. 11th grade. I joined choir that year while you joined drama. Remember how I said that I wanted to make someone out of myself? Well, that me that I had envisioned was the one who was friend to all. One who would be there no matter what. A person who cared. With that in mind, maybe now you can understand why I will do the things that I will soon write down and have done. When I saw you in the hall heading to drama, which was fortunately situated next to my choir room, I would say hi and even start up conversations. I learned about how you were going to the Philippines the same summer and how you didn't know how to speak Tagalog. I got to familiarize myself with you. Slowly but surely, a bond had been formed. One day, which happened to be my birthday, you overheard Yana telling me, "Happy birthday!" And you, in your surprise, was like, "Wow, it's your birthday?" I thought it was nice, but didn't think much of it. Lots of people said happy birthday. Why would I make a big deal out of your greeting? It was nothing extra. The following days were a different story. Each time I saw you after that day, you told me happy birthday until I told you that it wasn't my birthday anymore. With that, You responded by greeting me months after no end with happy early birthday. Frickin' great. Which at some point, I got annoyed with. There came a day when even my friends became annoyed with you. One of them thought you liked me because you annoyed me so much. Again, I didn't think much of it. You were just some annoying guy that I kind of enjoyed getting attention from. And, you know, days passed. I heard your birthday was eventually coming up. I decided since you celebrated my birthday so often, I too would celebrate yours. And how so? Through a handwritten card. So if you know me, I have a thing with handwritten letters. I only send it if I mean it, and you made some impact in my life that gets me to write you a letter. And this letter was one of little thoughts and was more dictionary defined. I drew some birthday-related pictures on the front and sketched him saying happy birthday to me, and I think one of me saying happy birthday to him. I then proceeded to write what his name meant according to some website. I ended it off with a somewhat sincere expression of friendship. I told him he was a great friend and proceeded to get him to solve it through an encoding of some sort, since I heard he liked puzzles. I think I gave it to him, or maybe Yana did, because they had class together. Nonetheless, a couple of days later, I asked him about it. He said it was the greatest gift he had ever received. Even his mom only sent him a text on his birthday. Hold up. Let me calm my heart down. 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004. I'm ready to write some more. Upon seeing how happy he was, I was happy that I made a difference for him. I definitely did not think he would appreciate my gift the way he did. 1001, 1002. Writing this down is just what I need to do. There were even days when I would review for the SAT and he'd talk about it. Talk about how he put some definitions in his calculator and whatnot. He recommended I use Quizlet to help me study, so that was what he used. 12th grade, a start and an end to many things. I will write this with as much honesty and vulnerability that I can give. I turned 18 that year. As a traditional Filipina, I wanted to have a debut, which is a celebrating of a coming of age for girls. With it came a day to dress up as a princess. So I thought, and invite all of Her Royal Highness's subjects to the grand ball. But what is a ball without some suitors? As a debutante, you could have 18 roses, which were male friends, family, or lovers that had to dance and give a little message to you. For as long as I live, I will never forget my dance with you. You had just finished giving your speech when you looked at me with a suave man look, and you put the rose in your mouth. As you walked towards me, somehow as you were fixing your long hair, you let go of the rose, and it fell, though you tried in vain to catch it. The dance was quick-stepped and full of smiles and jokes, but it was no joke that I had fallen for you. From having you agree to do my debut to early Saturday dance practices, you were there. You had strep throat, which you get certain times of the year, but you still came. You didn't know what a debut was or what you were signing up for, but you were always there. And there were rough times as well. Lots of begging had to be done by me. Maybe I put myself in that position. I couldn't exactly keep my voice and attitude to a peaceful, calming manner. I asked you once if you would come the next day, and you said, forever, always, until eternity. I literally said, LOL, all right. And actually, LOL'd. It made me nervous or unsure and confused. So I never forgot it. After my party, you decided to come to the after party, even though you knew none of the other roses were coming. You let me braid your hair, which you never let me do. I felt like I was actually gaining your trust. You told me your dad had passed away when you were younger, and how you played baseball, which is why you have a bat keychain connected to your keys. We talked about college and money, and later that week, my friend told me that the look I had when I was braiding his hair was full of contentment and peace, like those old couples who just enjoy being with each other. That was and still is my favorite day with you. It was one of the few times I felt like I didn't have to try to know you or try to get to know you. You just told me how things were, and I didn't have to force an answer out of you. The months after changed. It became harder. As your birthday neared and the school year was coming to an end, I wanted to get to know you as much as possible. So I asked you a lot of questions. I tried to force tons of conversations that didn't have the time to naturally come out in normal friendships. I know I was pushing you and expecting a lot from you, but my expectations of you were so high I couldn't stop. I honestly felt like we were super close, but truth was, we weren't. We still aren't. I even remember thinking about asking you if you would drive me and my friends to Santa Monica, and I was not close at all to you to be able to ask that. Your birthday was probably the last day I remember being somewhat okay. I'd spent weeks, if not months, planning on what to give you. I bought you a gray hoodie, a dude keychain, and a homemade bracelet and a letter of dates of events that happened on your birthday. I had texted you the night before to wait at your locker so I could give you my present, but you forgot. I saw you walking away, so my first thought was to run after you. I caught up to you after running through a hallway and a flight of stairs. I showed you my presents, and you gave me a tight hug that pressed my nose so deep into you that I could feel and inhale the fabric of your sweater on my nose. After that hug, I felt nothing. Like I had just done a chore, something to check off. I wrote you a thank you letter for being my rose, and I low-key think I confessed my love for you. Ugh, I don't know why you mean so much to me, but you do. I barely knew this guy, and here I am writing to all of this deep emotional shit. It was a lot of bullshit. I was full of bullshit. Graduation day came. My brother had taken a great liking to you, called you after we graduated, and we got to take pictures, and even your sister took pictures of us. You seemed awkward when she did, but when she left, it seemed like the person I knew and liked was there. The one that was easy to talk to and be with. I don't know who took the photo, but this one photo makes me so happy. I'm smiling while staring at what I think is someone else who isn't in the picture, but you're smiling and looking right at me. Before we left, I saw you and I touched your arm and said bye. You didn't even look at me, but you said, "All right, bye." That was one of the last times I saw you. I was in love with you and I thought, well, I could at least get a hug from you. I was wrong. Good night. Grad night was the day after. And, you know, we didn't really get to talk after that. I was angry at myself for being a fool and not stopping myself from, like, suffocating you and forcing you to tell me everything about you and everything you were when we didn't really know each other. I don't know when I fell for you. All I remember was my friends kept joking that because I openly admired you, I must have liked you. Because of that, I made sure to find more reasons to admire you, that eventually I did fall for you. Or maybe I fell for you, and that's why I admired you more. The year and up to now, I still haven't gotten over you. Ooh, okay. I don't want to commit or like or have liked any other boy as much as I've liked you. So I'm going to cut some of the stuff. Why do you like him? When did it start? I've been asking these questions multiple times. Just when I think I know why, I realize I know nothing. Even back then, I couldn't pin it. I couldn't understand how I fell in love with someone who was so far off from my ideal. Nowadays, I feel as if you are my ideal. There were things about you that I realized I liked. Things I didn't think I would like. I always saw myself as a planner. I still am in many ways. But after I met you, I saw the value and can appreciate the art of not planning. There's something beautiful about the spontaneity of life and the unknown. There's beauty in just letting go and living. Take things as they come. Appreciate what you have while it lasts. Nothing lasts forever, so you should love and live like you don't have forever. Don't worry about the future. Enjoy the now. Let go of the past. It's okay to make mistakes. You wouldn't know the things you know now if you didn't make mistakes. Learn from them. These are just a few things that I've come to learn and value because of you. Oh, and a big one. it's the little things that matter. You've made me question a lot of things, but the ones I'm thankful for are the perspectives on life, on love, and the ones that made me better for myself. I made myself better after I met you, and there are times when I've liked who I was and who I was becoming when I was with you. But I've also learned how desperate and clingy I can also be. And so that's where it comes to an end. And as I was reading this, I was like, oh my god, the little things with Nzian started way back when. I literally like learned that or remember it coming from him. But I never really associated that until I like read it. And so my big key takeaways from all of this is that, yes, looking forward now at 25, you know, life's meaning really is just dependent on what you give it. Because as you grow older, you change, and the way that you see the world changes, and the way what you prioritize and what's important to you, it shifts. And all of those quotes that he had told me that I had just read off just now, they were all said in jokingly, but I took them very to heart because I had put this person on a pedestal. And so I had idealized every single little thing that he had said, which is in part to a lot of the way that our society has raised us to view love, romantic love, which is something that I'm still trying to unlearn and also learn what that looks like day to day, you know? I don't know, it was just kind of like a big full cycle for me of like, wow, like younger me had some real knowledge, you know? And I don't think that she had expected that it would be applicable still to this day. I just remember thinking, damn, like I was hurting for this boy that did not like me back. Oh, because I actually did confess to this person, and then they did tell me that they didn't like me back. But nonetheless, it was, looking back at it now, I learned so much from it. And I've realized that I've learned so much from all the relationships that have entered, that have left, that are still here. And I'm grateful. And as he had told me before, you gotta live in the present as if you don't have forever, because you don't. That's the only thing that's for certain, is that there is not a forever certain guaranteed, but you can choose to be present and show up as if, because there is an end. That got a little depressing right at the very end. To not think that that was how that would go. But this is the first episode back. If you listen to this, thank you so much. I know it was kind of cringy and cliche. It was very cliche and corny. Okay, I was younger. Don't judge me for that. I was very idealistic when I was younger. It is not the same now. And I look back and I'm like, but no, I still agree with her. I still agree with the younger me. She has every right to be idealistic. And I think a little bit of idealism never hurts. That's how change happens, I think. Alrighty, that is the end of this podcast. Thank you so much. And good boy.